Well, I'm really excited as we begin this new year and we begin this new series called Awaken, because I believe that over the next 30 days through the month of January and through into the beginning of February, God is going to awaken our hearts and other people actually to Him, to the fullness of life that we can have in God. But I believe He's going to awaken us in the life of this church, particularly as well as we enter into this period of 30 days of fasting and praying for those that are around us. But I really believe He wants to awaken us to the fullness of who He is as well. So that's why I'm excited about all that lies ahead of us. Now, I don't know whether you can remember wearing an old school watch. If you've got an old school watch like I've got, then you'll know what I'm talking about. But when I talk about old school, I mean one of those watches that doesn't tell you when you can breathe or gives you notification from Apple about text messages or emails or WhatsApp messages or news notifications or the rest of it, okay? You know, but when you get an old school watch, when you first begin to wear it, you recognize that you've got this watch on. You know, there's this heaviness, there's an unfamiliarity about this thing that you're wearing on your watch, and you think about it all the time, or on your wrist, you think about it all the time. And then something happens with the passing of time. You forget that you've got a watch on. You just get used to wearing your watch, and you forget that you're wearing one at all. And psychologists call this, they have a term for this, it's called habituation. And habituation is the idea that a new object or a new stimulus can be introduced to the environment. And at first you have this heightened awareness, but over time, awareness fades. And it's not just watches. So let me give you an example. When we first moved into our current home over 3 years ago now, as we approached the garage, there was this great big sort of battered sort of green fence down the side of some of the property that belonged to us. And so most people, as they came up to the house, would be aware of this fence. It was just there because people would park their cars in front of the garage. But behind this fence, there was a lot of potential. There was a lot of land that could be developed, could be used, if for nothing else than parking cars. But actually, because we were doing so many other things in and around the house, we just got used to this fence, you know. And what began as an eyesore for us and something we really wanted to do something about, we gradually just got used to with the passing of time, despite all this potential that lay behind the fence. And so as we got used to it, that is habituation. And please don't judge me, because I bet if I came to your home, you know, there would be a few things that you'd be meaning to do for a very long time as well. But it's true for all of us. We all have things that we want to get round to doing. We want to get sorted. We want to get solved in our homes. And you know, where we say, you know, there's no way that I could live without being like that. But then with the passing of time, our awareness fades and we stop seeing those things for what they really are. But that's habituation. And it doesn't just happen in our homes. It actually happens with our neighbours as well. I think about when we first moved again into, well, you think about when you first moved into your home or your flat. You know, and when that happens, we're really, really aware of the people that are all around us. You know, there's this awareness of who lives in close proximity to us, and we begin to take note of what people drive and when they come home from work and when they head off to work. And then you have that moment when you meet your neighbours and you have your first conversation with them, and you exchange names and you exchange pleasantries, and you then go back home and you check them out on Facebook to see what they're really like. But you know, trying to figure out who it is that's living next to you. But there's this heightened awareness at the beginning. But then what happens with the passing of time is that our awareness fades. And over time, our neighbours can become the background noise in our lives. And what happens is that we lose awareness of the people that are around us. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about habituation. So a study came out, this was just before the pandemic, and I recognize that the pandemic might have changed this a little bit, but 2 years ago, there was this study that revealed that only 31% of people knew their neighbors' names. And I don't want you to get nervous about this because I'm not going to test you, but throughout our lives, we can get so caught up in the business of life that we don't know the people that live around us. And sometimes even if we've learnt their names, we can forget them because we lose awareness over time. We get caught up in the same old, same old. So there was this guy named Mike Boff who shared a story, and he called this idea of habituation the same old, same old. And he wrote this: you get up at the same old time and you walk into the same old bathroom and you look at the same old face in the same old mirror and you have the same old shower and dry off with the same old towel and you put on the same old clothes and you walk down to the same old kitchen and you get out the same old bowl and you get out the same old cereal and you drink the same old coffee and you kiss the same old cheek of the same old wife. Well, that's what he said. You drive the same old car down the same old street and you do the same old job and you laugh at the same old jokes when your boss tells them the same old way. And you clock out at the same old time and you drive back in the same old car down the same old street and pull into the same old garage and hug the same old kids and walk into the same old kitchen and sit down to the same old dinner. And then he said this: you sit in the same old recliner and watch the same old TV show and fall asleep in the same old chair. And then you have to get up and crawl into the same old bed and set the same old alarm clock and get up and do all those things all over again. And you know, the same old can lull us into sleep. And we can end up sort of getting to that place in life where we think there's got to be more to life than this. You know, there has to be more than the same old. And there are just these moments when we become aware, when we wake up. And as I think about that, it reminds me of Jacob in the Old Testament. You know, he was this character who'd settled into the same old patterns in his life. There was this family dysfunction, there were strange relationships, he'd made a mess of things, he was running from his past, and one night he goes to sleep and he has this dream, and in this dream he has this encounter with God, and it's like God is saying to him, you can't outrun me, Jacob. It's like, I'm pursuing you, I've got plans for you, I have a dream for your life, and I'm watching over you, and I'm with you. And just like I was with your father, I'm going to be with you. And Jacob just has this moment where he wakes up. And he sort of, he physically wakes up and spiritually wakes up. And in that moment, it says in Genesis 28, verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And Jacob wakes up and he realizes that God was here, that God was with me the entire time, that God has been pursuing me my entire life, that God is present in this place. And I went to sleep, he was saying to himself. I went to sleep one way and then I woke up and God was here with me. And what Jacob's story teaches us, it is true that we cannot see God's presence. We can miss God's experience. We can easily miss experiencing his presence. And we can become habituated spiritually. You know, we can go through our lives and we can get so caught up in the rhythms and routines of life that we miss the fact that God is with us, that God is here, that he is Emmanuel, that he is God with us, that he is God, the God who pursues us. And God wants to say to us, I believe, what he said to Jacob all those years ago, that I'm with you, that I'm not giving up on you, that I am pursuing you, that I want you to wake up to the reality of my presence, you know, that I want you to wake up to the reality of my power, I want you to wake up to the reality of my glory. I want to have a relationship with you. And Jacob woke up. And I just wonder, as we think back over this past year, as we think back over the season of the pandemic, and as we begin 2022, I wonder how many of us have fallen asleep. I wonder how many of us have been lulled into sort of just allowing things to be the way that they are, you know, and because it's been like this, this is how it's always going to be. And, we've settled into all sorts of things we've justified along the way. And we've just settled into the same old, same old. And God is saying to us as we begin this new year, I want to wake you up today. I want to awaken you to my love. I want to awaken you to my presence. You know, I want to awaken you to everything that I have for you. And maybe in the past there was a time when you really were awake, you know, a time when you were truly aware of the reality of God's presence, where you craved his word, you just want to spend time with him, you just loved it when you heard him speaking to you. Maybe there was a time when you had fresh stories about what God had done in your life or was doing in your life, but it's been a long time since you've had a fresh story, or a long time since you sat and read the scriptures with a hunger in your heart, and the word has just become a book that you have on your coffee table now. Maybe you've reached that stage where you no longer feel like you're able to talk to God in the way you once did, and your prayers just bouncing off the ceiling, and you know that maybe there's something you've done that makes you feel as though you're a long way off from God at this particular moment in time. And like he did with Jacob, you know, God wants to awaken you. He wants to awaken us to the reality that he is with us, that he's pursuing us. You know, that even though we may have given up on him, the truth is he never gives up on us. So he wants to wake me up. He wants to wake you. He wants to wake us up. You know, I used to love it when our children were smaller, and I used to go and wake them up in the morning. I used to go in when they were asleep. I'd take them a cup of tea. I'd take them a biscuit to get them going. And very often I would go in and I'd sing them a song. I'd have a different song for each one of them because they were sort of different individuals and different characters. But I used to love sitting on the edge of their bed and gradually waking them up and watching them glance up at me sideways as they sort of try to wake up. And there'd be that moment of blinky confusion that began first thing in the morning, that blinky, confused sort of "where am I" sort of feeling. But as I was thinking about that, here's what I've been reminded in that is that, you know, very often you don't realise that you're asleep until you're awake. You know, and the moment they used to wake up, they could say, "Well, I was asleep." And the same is true spiritually. You know, you can go for years and not realize that you were asleep spiritually until the moment you wake up. You know, when you realize that I'm starting to wake up, that I'm starting to wake up to who God is, to who it is that God has made me to be, you know, to what it is that is true. And that's what we're talking about as we begin this new year in this new series, Awake. We have a Father who loves to wake us up. And at times he'll wake us up with a whisper, you know, and maybe as we begin this new year, he's whispering to us, to you, wake up, wake up. And it's not just people who are outside the walls, as it were, of the church who are asleep. It's those of us that are inside the walls of the church as well. And in this passage in Ephesians 5, in verse 14, Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." He's saying, wake up to who God is, wake up. And I love it when I hear stories about people waking up. When someone comes along and they've said, you know, God has been doing something in my life that I've never experienced before. You know, I've got this desire to read and to meditate on scripture like I've never done before. Or I've started praying and I realized I didn't know how to pray before, but I've just started to pray and God's teaching me how to pray. And or you hear someone say, God's changing my family. You know, he's working in our family life, he's working in our children's lives, he's waking us all up. And you know, I love it when there are stories of prayers being answered or miracles that are happening, and stories of men and women coming to the life of this church and just saying, "I came into worship, and as I was worshiping, I just began crying, and I didn't know what it was, Mike. I didn't know what was going on." Well, Well, I do know what it is. It's the places in our hearts that God is waking up. You know, is God waking us up on the inside? So that's why we have Kleenex around the church, actually, because God wakes us up and it moves us deeply. You know, it is the presence of God, and you're having in that moment a moment like Jacob. It's like, you know, God is in this place and I didn't even know it. And it's not as well, it's not like God is in this place and he stays here when we all go out and he's waiting for us to return. You know, basically God is saying, I'm pursuing you, I'm chasing you, I'm going with you all over the place. Wherever you are, I'm in pursuit of you in that place. And so God is basically saying to us at Encounter, I just want to continue to wake you up. I want to keep waking you up. But there is this collaborative relationship between the wakee and the waker. Like when I used to wake the children up, they basically had a choice, either to get up or not. You know, and I didn't particularly want to have to go back in again and start singing over them or anything like that, you know. But I recognized that I would get a variety of responses. You know, sometimes they'd sit up straight away. Sometimes there'd be no movement at all. Sometimes they would try and trick me and they'd tell me they were awake, but as soon as I'd gone out of the room, they'd roll back over and go back to sleep again. And I wonder how much that's been the experience of our lives. You know, every weekend, as part of this community of faith here at Encounter, you know, we come in here, we experience the presence of God, and God is saying, wake up, wake up. But then we continue to hit the alarm clock, as it were. And what we're saying this month of the church is, you know, you know, God, would you do the awakening that our hearts are longing for? But it is a relationship between the wakee and the waker. And God is saying, I believe I'm waking you up. And it is, we've just had Christmas, we've just been celebrating Christmas, we're still in Christmastide actually, is actually what Jesus came to do. It's why we have Emmanuel, it's why we have God with us. I mean, if you read through the Gospels, it's just amazing when you look at Jesus' life and his ministry, how he wakes people up. You know, sometimes he wakes them up, you know, thousands at a time, maybe on the edge of a hill, he's teaching to the thousands, or he's in a boat and he's speaking to the thousands on the beach. He's just waking them up. But most of the time, he'd just walk down the street and he would be waking up the people that the others would say, just let them sleep, just leave them alone. And he saw the day overlooked. He saw the people that addiction. He saw the people that were oppressed. He saw the people that were depressed. He saw the people that had been through multiple relationships. He saw the people that had made a mess of their lives. And Jesus went to them and said, I want to wake you up. I want you to wake you up to the reality of me. You know, the people who were criminals, the people who had convictions, the people who were caught up in their past. Jesus went to them and said, I want to wake you up. That the people that were overlooked, that were marginalized, that were pushed aside, Jesus sought them out and he said, I want to wake you up. You know, come and follow me. You know, I see more in you than you can see. So come and follow me. And this is the invitation of Jesus. And Jesus basically woke up two primary groups of people. The first group of people he woke up were to those who were essentially asleep in sin. And to be asleep in sin is to be, I think, caught up in decision-making and lifestyles that lead us to the place where we fall short of God's best intention for us. And we're just asleep in these patterns. And I know what it's like. I've been there as well. You know, we can try harder and harder, and we can become more and more discouraged because the harder we try, it just makes no difference. And we can try to lift ourselves up by our own sort of shoestrings, as it were. But we get exhausted when we try to do it in our own strength. And so we just give up, you know, because a life of self-help is ultimately exhausting. So we give up and we give in. And Jesus came to that group and he said, no, I want to wake you up. I want to wake you up to me. You know, I want to help you. I want to be in relationship with you. So that was the first group. But the second group Jesus sought to wake up were those who were asleep in their religion. And this was even more dangerous, actually, because these characters didn't even know they were asleep. You know, while the first group might find themselves saying, we've gone too far, we're excluded, the second group actually essentially believed that God had got a good deal. They said to themselves, God's got a good deal in me, you know. And this group is asleep in their self-righteousness. And rather than having an awareness of God and his presence, you know, they spent most of their time comparing themselves to the first group so they could feel better about who they were and where they were at. And Jesus is saying to them, come to me, I want to wake you up too. And these characters were deeply offended by Jesus because they didn't believe they needed to be awakened. So this group made it their goal to try and discredit Jesus. And so one time that there was this religious lawyer, he was an expert in the law, and he came to Jesus and he wanted to trap him. And I want to show you what he said in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Apparently only 31% of Hebrews knew their neighbors' names as well. And I'm going to talk about that more next week. But today, I just want to think about that question. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus asked this question, doesn't he? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And the reason he asked that the question was he wanted to trap Jesus because he's an expert in the law. And he's giving Jesus a pop quiz, you know. What he didn't realize was that he was giving a pop quiz to the author of the book. And often in the Gospels, we will see that when someone is asking Jesus a question, he'll answer their question with another question. So this guy asks Jesus a question. And Jesus replied, what do you think? You know, how do you read the book? And the question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, I want to think about that just for a moment. Because when we think about eternal life, we often, I think about a destination. We think about where we're going to go when we die. You know, we think of heaven. We think of a location, we think of the end of life. But what he's talking about here is more than just a destination. He's talking about eternal life in the here and now, right now. Because when the Hebrew mind thought of eternal life, it wasn't just about duration, it was about depth of life. It wasn't just about the quantity of life, it was about the quality of life. You know, how do we inherit? How do we receive? How do we have eternal life? Because eternal life was the opposite of the temporal life. You know, the temporal life was all about temporary things, you know, like work and, you know, what are we going to eat and you know, where are we going to sleep and how are we going to pay the bills, you know, the same old. And he's saying, you know, how do I get out of the same old? And the only time that Jesus gives a definition of eternal life is in the book of John chapter 17, in verse 3, we read this. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So what Jesus tells us is that eternal life is a relationship. You know, eternal life is about knowing God and that we can have eternal life. You know, eternal life doesn't begin when we die. It starts now. It begins the moment we trust in Jesus. You know, the moment we put our faith in him, that's the moment we receive eternal life. You know, and life becomes in that moment about more than just temporal things. You know, life becomes about more than the same old, same old. You know, so it's not just about what happens when we cross a river when we die. It's about actually jumping into the river, into the fullness of the river now. And it's the river of God's love, and it's the river of God's presence, you know, and that we encounter him and that we experience him and that we live wide awake to him. And how do we have eternal life? How do we stay awake to him? Well, we focus on what's eternal. And what is eternal? Well, we love God and we love others. There are only three things in this world that are eternal. That is God, his word, and the souls of people. In this world, those are the only three things that will last forever. And the degree to which we invest our lives in what is eternal is how we experience eternal life here and now. Loving God and loving others. It's actually really simple, and it's incredibly challenging. And we cannot do it in our own strength. But it's God waking us up. And I want to tell you about something that I had the privilege of meeting many, many years ago in the capacity that Karen and I had when we were leading another church and involved in leading a movement. We came across a number of characters, and one of my favorite characters was a theologian in the Vineyard based out in America, based out in California, and I got to know him out there. But he came over to the UK and he stayed with us on a number of occasions. And as I got to know him, I just saw this extraordinary character who was just filled with love for God and for other people. He was really quite extraordinary. And there was never one moment that I ever questioned whether or not this guy, Don Williams, loved God. That you could just tell what he loved by what he talked about. You could just tell who he loved by the stories that he told. You know, you just knew that he loved God and he loved other people. And I could tell the way that he loved other people by the way that he treated other people. And I would come across people that he spent time with, and they all just said the same thing. You know, whether it was people would stand around a table with him, or he'd bought a coffee off in a local sort of coffee shop, wherever he went. And people can tell what you love, and people can tell what I love when they spend time around us. And you can tell when somebody's awake. And I believe that if Don Williams can live that awake to God, then actually we can too. But there's this, it's what's crucial is this relationship between the wakee and the waker. And for us to have the courage to say, God, I want to be awake. I want you to wake me up, as it were. And here's a confession I really want to make. I probably knew Don better than some of the people that lived around me when I managed to spend time with John. You know, I probably knew his story better than the stories of some of the people that lived around me. I probably shared more meals with him than some of the people that lived around me. And I wonder if that's not true for many of us, actually. I just wonder whether in the awakening that I believe God wants to bring to us, I wonder whether it involves us being awake to see people. Do you know, it's very easy to go through an entire day and not really see people. And I wonder whether it's the Lord that's wanting to take some of those people that might be in the background of our lives and that he wants us to see them again. And he doesn't just want us to see them, but he wants us to see them as he actually sees them. And if we want to see people as he sees people, then that begins with prayer. Because when we start praying for other people, we become awakened. We become awakened to what God is doing in their lives. So in the season of our awaken fast, if you journal, if you don't journal, why don't you start journaling? I would encourage you to write down the names of some neighbours or co-workers or friends or family members, but people that you're sort of reasonably close to, but they're far from God. You know, the word neighbour actually means someone who is near. someone who is in proximity, somebody who is close by. It might be somebody that you go cycling with, or somebody who's in a sports team with you, or somebody who's in the same classroom as you, in the same staff room as you, somebody who's in the same office. And begin to see people and ask God, who are the people you want me to pray for in this coming month? And I'm telling you, when we start praying for people, we actually do begin to see God start moving in their lives, you know. And what you're praying for, and what you pray for, is what you're looking for. And what you're looking for, I believe you tend to find. And when we begin to pray for people, we begin to see God's activity in their lives. And why are we doing this? Why would we do this? Well, there's a scripture in Acts 17 which says, in him we live, we move, and have our being. It means that before we were born, he has appointed for us the time and place that we would live. I mean, think about it. I find that incredible. Before we were born, God has already determined where we would live. I want to say this. God has placed you. He's placed us strategically. We're part of his strategy for reaching our community, for reaching the people that are around us. God has placed us here at Encounter strategically to be part of his strategy for this region. And some of us might be saying, well, God, couldn't you just place me somewhere else, frankly? You know, but he has placed us where we are in this season at this particular moment in time. And the truth is that some of us might be so focused on what's going to happen next that we could miss this moment. We could miss the now of what God has called us to. And so we read actually in Acts, in verse 27, that God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. You see, the thing is, God is not far off from any of us. He's not far off from our neighbor. In fact, he's placed us right next door to our neighbors. Why? So that our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues might have a Jacob moment, that they might say that, you know, that God is in this place and I didn't even know it. But it begins when God's people begin to pray. And that's why we're beginning this new year, praying and fasting and asking God, you know, God, who would you have me pray for? That they would be awakened to you, that they would encounter your love, that they would see you for who you really are, that they might have a Jacob moment and realize that you've been pursuing them and that they might reach out for you. Listen, the way we break free from habituation is to start a new habit. So let's allow at the start of 2022 and our awakened fast be the start of a new season of praying for all of us. Because when we pray, God moves. And when God moves, we get to see stories of other people's lives being transformed and changed. And we have the joy of knowing that we got to be a part of someone else having a Jacob moment, of becoming aware of God's presence as they themselves reach out for God. As I close, just understand this. The heart behind all of this is that God would wake us up and that we could be used by God to help wake others up. Amen. So Lord, let's hold our hands out in front of the Lord as we begin this new year. Lord, we want to seek your face. We want to seek your presence. We want the more of you that there is in this moment as we begin this new year. Lord, we know that we can't go into this new year without your grace on us and over us. We need you. We need more of you, Lord Jesus. So would you come to us through the power of your Spirit? Would you do a number of things, Lord? Would you place on our hearts, Lord Jesus, the people that you want to pray for us? Lord, would you help us to see the people that you've strategically placed us alongside, Lord, that you want us to love and to care for and to reflect you to? Would you give us hearts of compassion and kindness, Lord, to move towards those that are around us? Lord, would you give us energy and strength as we come off the back of Christmas and begin a new year, Lord, to lean into the calling that you give to us? Lord, would you resource us? Would you equip us? Would you bless us? Would you refresh us? Would you fill us with your Spirit? Would you give us your energy and your strength and your heart, Lord Jesus. Or would you just remind us again and again that you love us so much, but that out of that love and that experience of that love, you call us to express that love to others. So as we go into this week, as we go into January 2022, as we go into this new season, Lord, as we go into this awakened fast, Lord, we pray that you would fill us. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us. Lord, would you bless us? Would you make your face to shine upon us? Would you give us your peace? Would you give us your grace? Would you give us your blessing? The blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon each and every one of us, both today and forevermore. Amen.